You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Okay, there are no other announcements. We'll go to the scripture reading. It's in Galatians today, chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee for this time to open the scriptures, Lord, and to read the very Word of God, the living oracles, Lord, that have been preserved, that have come through the ages, and we read them in our own mother tongue. We thank thee, our Father, for them. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The book of Galatians is an interesting book because it's one of those books which, while it is in the firmly entrenched in the book of Acts, it talks a lot about Christ and what he means to the nation of Israel, especially in relationship to this idea of adoption. And we should all be interested in this idea of adoption because we are, as Gentiles, we certainly were strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But Paul says to us in the book of Ephesians, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So the meeting place for all the redeemed is Christ. And we in this age, though we be strangers from the covenants of promise, no matter, we've been made nigh not because we have somehow taken an unnatural graft into the olive of Israel, but rather through the finished work of Christ, we have been placed into the body of Christ, of whom Christ is head. And that's a tremendous teaching, and one which really sets us all free. I am not a great debater, although I would like to become a better debater. I get angry. See, now if you want to be a good debater, never get angry. Never. That's something you never do if you want to win a debate. You must be cool and calm, and your head should be level, it should be resourceful, it should be free, it should be enabled to move where it needs to move. But if you get angry, you get into this tunnel where you can't move out of. And so what I think we need to learn in this age especially is to be able to bring the truths to people without losing your cool. When you see so much error, doesn't it get you angry? It just does. And when you get confronted with it, if you don't watch out, you'll lose it, and then you end up losing a debate which really you should have won. You should have won because you got all the truth on your side. Your flesh got in the way. My flesh gets in my way just like you too. I don't know how I got on this topic, but nonetheless, it's true. It's true. We have in this age a tremendous challenge because so much truth is at stake. And when I looked at this topic of Christmas and I looked at the birth of Christ, I saw in this a chance to talk about the fullness because, you know, when you talk about Jesus, he is the bread of life. You know, Bethlehem. Do you know what that means? Bethlehem. It means the house of bread. The house of bread. Jesus is the bread of life. And you get satiety from feeding on him. He is the fullness, as we will look at. You know, and we can come to that richness of being satisfied in him. I don't know about you, but as a younger man, I was just not satisfied. Even though I was going along to a church, I was not saved, and I was not at all satisfied with my life. Not at all. I was in many ways an unhappy man. And yet, really, at that time, I was physically at my best. I was fit. I was strong. I could beat just about anybody in a race, a long race, that is. Maybe not so much in the sprints. I never was a fast person at a sprint. But give me some distance, man, and I won't stop. I'll just keep on going. Well, it doesn't matter what kind of success you might have in your life if there's no inner peace, if that Christ-formed vacuum is not filled to the full, then you've got a problem. You've got a serious problem. And I want to talk about this idea of the fullness, because we, as people who have come to understand right division and understand something of the truth of the mystery, look at all the truths that have come to us simply by believing the Bible and saying, we don't care, we're going to believe the Bible and we're going to allow the Spirit of God to take us where He wants to take us. Look at the truths that come to us. Man, over these last years, I've got to thank God for the tremendous fullness that's coming my way in terms of understanding. Just in the past few months, massive amount of understanding come to me personally. So this is the passage that we just read from Galatians. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. This goes back to this idea that within this ancient world that we're reading about here, there is a family, and the father of the family would put even his most treasured children under tutors and governors, and they would be treated just like servants, just like slaves. And there was a time that would be appointed, as it says here, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. There is a time when that tutelage would come to an end. And it says, even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, the time, there was this fullness, exactly the right time had come. God is interested in time. And timing, you look at your own life, how important timing is. And sometimes you go through things and you say, oh man, that was pretty random. But then you look back and you say, wait a minute, oh, I see why that had to happen there. Now I understand that circumstance, while I had to go through that tribulation there so I could meet this person and why that had to happen. You can look back and you can make sense of it many times. Timing is critical. The time appointed. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. God sent forth his son. Now this mysterious truth that the son was sent forth by God the Father and came down and took on flesh and blood is the most amazing idea and the most tremendous truth that Christians have come to understand. And, you know, a Christian who understands Jesus is a Christian who has come to understand more about the fullness and more about what it is to know God, because God was manifest in the flesh. How can you know God? Come on, tell the truth. Do you really understand God? Oh, okay, so where did this universe come from? Okay, God made it. Okay, now what was God doing before he did that? And where did God come from? Well, he didn't come from anywhere. He always existed. God already, you understand that, do you? You understand the totality of God. Come on. A being that has never been created, always existed, is infinite in knowledge, infinite in power. You understand that? You understand that? No, I don't understand that. No way. I do not understand God in that sense. But if God took on flesh and became a man, and then I can read about his life, I can read his words, wow, there's an insight that I can understand. And if God comes down to the wavelength of man, wow, haven't we got a view of God that no one else could possibly get? And the wisdom of God you can see in Jesus. And of course, Jesus is indeed the wisdom of God. It's a tremendous truth. There's a lot of philosophy about this that comes to us about timing, about the fullness. Timing is everything in our life. If you look at this passage, this is a passage which came to mind just recently. Shirley was asking me some questions, and this passage came up, and I thought it fit very well with my thinking. It says this in chapter 3, verse 20 of Philippians, "For our conversation is in heaven." Our conversation. Polytuma, can you see in there the word polis and also the word politic? You can see in that word the idea of a constitution, the rules, the things that give us governance about how we should then live, right? "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, here's something about this. Our true constitution is indeed in heaven, and we can read about our constitution and get the details of it correct if indeed we rightly divide the word of truth. If we don't rightly divide the word of truth, then we're not going to get the constitution which is ours. We will get some other truth which God had addressed to another people. But our constitution, our rules are in heaven. The same place from which we look for that great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's all true, isn't it? We know as Christians that this is our rule book. This is where we go to understand what God wants for us. And as long as we rightly divide the word of truth, then we can be guaranteed of getting His truth for us in this age, the age in which we live here. Okay, so we know that's the case, and we, through understanding Paul's prison ministry, we get to understand God's constitution for us in this age. Now, there's lots of words in the Bible, but we need to rightly divide the word of truth to understand that. But here's the point, right? There are Christians who don't know that, right? There are Christians who are saved. They've come to know the Lord. They've trusted on Him for salvation. But they, unfortunately, they go to other places to get God's constitution, right? They may jump. They may be living in this age. But what they do is they migrate back over here and they get words which were given to a different people and they try and live by that constitution, right? So, my question is then, given that that will be the case and is the case, how is it that we then can live together so that what you believe is your business and you're not going to try and push me around and tell me what I have to believe and I'm not going to be able to push you around and tell you what to believe? My friends, isn't it good that in this country there was a founding generation that saw that and regardless of their own personal problems that they as human beings may have had, and they did, they had their own problems. They were not perfect human beings. They lived in a time and when, for example, there was a slavery. They had their own difficulties and problems. But what they had was some insight, and they put that insight down into something which we call the Constitution, whereby each one of us can live according to our own understanding of the Scriptures and our beliefs, and we can live together. We can live together in peace and harmony. This is, again, a wonderful truth that in America we can proclaim. Let's hope we can keep proclaiming it. But we're only going to be able to keep proclaiming it if we stand up for it, right? Otherwise it will be lost. You say, well, the reason why there's some great Christians in various parts of the world is because they're under persecution. And that's what we need here. We need some persecution here, and then we can be just as good a Christian as those little people over there in that part of the dark world. My friends, you know, why do you need a spanking? You need a spanking because you're a little child and you acted like a child. But my friends, if we take up our responsibility and we live as we ought to live, we don't need to be spanked, do we? We don't need to be spanked. We need maturity, and we need to stand up for what is right, and we need to do it, and we need to do it now. Timing is important. Timing to God is very important. My friends, I can see the time is now. We are living at a time in the United States when this country could very well go down. Very well go down. That would be just a horrific thing when you think of all the blood and all the pain and suffering that has had to come about in order that we enjoy the liberty and freedom we have here. It would be a catastrophe if that happened. And it's only going to happen if people who know the truth don't stand up. You know, don't stand up. Now, there's two sides to this. First of all, there's this. Yes, there's this document. There is this truth. There is the founding fathers and what they achieved and what they sought to put in place here in the United States. But my friend, that freedom is there so that we can search the Word of God and institute the true constitution in our lives, right? The polytuma that Paul was talking about there in Philippians 3:20. You see, that it's a practical thing, and also it's a thing which comes straight from the scriptures. And I hope you can see what I'm trying to get at here. In the book of John, John is an interesting person because he has a twofold ministry. But we're going to develop this as time goes by. But if you look at this passage here in John 5:26, let me point out a few things. For as the Father hath life in himself, now let's just think about that. Well, of course, the Father must have life in himself. The Father, God the Father, has life in himself. As I just said, he's always been. He's the creator of all. Okay? So hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. What a remarkable passage in the scripture. Life, you see. What God has done in the person of Christ, who's come down to the wavelength of man, is that he has revealed life to his creatures. And in understanding Christ, we understand life. And it says that John also says this, 1 John 5:12, he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Wow. That's the gospel. That's the emphasis of the gospel that we need to bring. You see, if you reject the gospel, then you're going to miss out on something. Yeah, you're going to miss out on life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Resurrection, my friend, is what he's about. Life through resurrection. And without that resurrection to eternal life, then, my friends, the only thing you're going to get is perishment. You're going to perish. Well, over here in Matthew 9, verse 16, it says this. No man putteth a piece of new cloth in an old garment, for that which is put into it, fill it up. Take it from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Let me say it again. No man putteth a piece of new cloth unto an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up, taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. It's made worse. You know, people who don't rightly divide the word of truth, what they'll do is they'll mishmash. They'll take a bit of this, and they'll try and push it in there, right? And what happens is the rent is made worse. Right division allows things to be put into their correct place, and that's how things work together. We need that. We need right division to make things work. This is what it says in Mark 8:20. And when the seven among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took he up? And they said, seven. And they said, seven. When God fills things to the full, it's done with perfection. On the seventh day, he rested. It's done with perfection. What we see in God's working and dealings with mankind through the ages is with perfection. John 1:16, and of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. This is an interesting expression. K Karen anti keratos. Grace for grace. You can see the word preposition anti there. Anti. To give an idea of the flavor of this word, look at Mark 10:45. It says this: For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. He gives his life in place of others. And that's the word anti which is used there. Karen anti keratos. Grace for grace. You see, one of the things that we have come to understand is that when you jump, you'll find grace here. Don't get me wrong. There's grace here. There's grace here. There's grace all the way through the scriptures. You will find God's grace there. But when you especially get into our period of time, you get grace, amplified grace. Amplified, like you wouldn't believe. And here, talking about Christ, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace, grace that is in place of all other grace. It's so magnified. And I think that's another feature of Christ, that he is just so full of all of that which gives us grace. Romans 11:12 says, Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? So what are we going to get from this? What is the point that we can get from this? One of the things that you have to understand about Israel is that while they failed, while Israel failed, God's promises and purposes will come to fruition. And that one day, while they have failed, he will bring Israel to completion. It's going to happen. It will happen because the promises of God are without a change of mind. He will not repent on them. Here's another wonderful passage. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Love is the fulfilling of the law. And that love we can see within our own fellowship and within our community as Christians. And this is how the world is often affected. They many times will not listen to our voices, but they will be influenced by the love that comes with our presence and what we do. And that love in turn comes from the fullness which is in Christ. We get our understanding of love through the example of Christ. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. The fullness.
Yes, that's right. One of the things that understanding the scriptures rightly divided is the fact that during this time when the gospel was preached, there was this fullness of the gospel. And the fullness of the gospel included manifestations of the Spirit of God. Not only does the fullness of Christ give us the ability to love and to understand, but it also contextualizes things and gives us the understanding of what went on during other ages. So we don't mix and match things up. We rather allow things to fit in their proper place.
Yes, there were tongues and signs and wonders, and that had a certain place when Israel was to be got at and brought to repentance. Here is a fantastic passage. Ephesians 1:10, look at this. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, when the fullness of the time came, that was when Jesus came into the world through Mary. Yes, there was a special time, a fullness of that time. But here we've got something else. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, there is a time coming or an age coming when all of the things related to the various ages will find their fulfillment. There is certainly a dispensation of the fullness of times that in which he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him.
Yeah, so way out here somewhere, we don't know where, but way out here somewhere, in the dispensation of the fullness of the fullness of times, he will gather together in one all things in Christ. Over here, yeah. But before that time comes through, there's got to be a whole lot of ages that will run their course. They will run their course. But in the dispensation of the fullness of times, there will be this gathering. And he'll
head up all things there in Christ. And now it says this, and I want you to look at this passage. This is in Ephesians 1. Just find the book of Ephesians chapter 1. And we're on the subject of the fullness and what it means. The fact that Christ came meant that a whole lot of things would come to us. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22, it says this, "And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." Whoa!
So what that means is that the church is the fullness. The church itself. So you can find back here there's all sorts of churches. Okay? There's all sorts of churches. Back here, there'll be churches over here. But the one which is with Christ as the head, it is the fullness. It is. Well, what does that mean? That means there's nothing more to be poured into it. It's the fullness. It is the fullness. No other church has been given that title. No other church can claim such fullness. It is the fullness of him that filleth all in all.
Okay, well, that's very different from what you'll find when you read the book of Revelation to the seven churches. Nah, man, that's very different. Here we have in Ephesians 3:19, "And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." And to know the love of Christ. Okay, again, this is a practical teaching. Knowing the love of Christ, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. The fullness of God is a possibility for us by knowing Christ. Ephesians 4:13, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Okay, what's the context of this? Just go back there with me to Ephesians 4 and verse 11. "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." Now here it goes. "For," what reason? "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Notice it says here, unto a perfect man, unto a perfect man. There it is. Now that's kind of interesting. Here it is, the Greek of it, eis andra teleon. There it is, unto a perfect man. This is the metaphor, a man, a perfect man. It's not the word anthropos, not a person, but a man, unto a perfect man. That is the metaphor, a perfect man. And so when we look at our hope here, it's so different. Our hope is in the heavenlies. Okay, it's called to being a perfect man. It is not the wife. It is not the bride. It is not based upon the foundation of another constitution, such as the laws of Moses and the Ten Commandments and the covenants of glory and all those things. No, no. Very different constitution. Very different altogether. And the pastors and the teachers and all these people here, prophets, evangelists, some pastors and teachers, what job had they? Perfecting of the saints. Perfecting. That's part of our job, to perfect the saints. This is Colossians 1:19. "For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell." It pleased the Father that in Christ all the fullness should dwell. All of it. When we look at Christ, we're not looking at someone who is just another prophet. We're not looking at Christ as just being a good man. No, no. We're looking at Christ as the one who has all the fullness dwelling. Very different. Again, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Why am I showing you these things at this time of Christmas? Because when we see a little baby, it's hard for us to imagine that in him all the fullness would dwell. It's very hard. But nonetheless, true. What a wonderful truth that we have, that in Christ all the fullness of the Godhead dwells. And we worship him. Why do you worship Christ? Because in him all the fullness of the deity dwells. That's why. Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. He is not simply a prophet. He is not simply a man. No, he's something very different. Well, that's my main message to you today, that Jesus is definitely the fullness of God, and by coming to know him better, so we can know God more and more. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee again for this message of the fullness. We thank thee, Lord, for what it means to us in our fellowship, that Christ is the head of the church, and we are part of that universal church. We thank thee for our hope, which is in the heavenly places. We pray for all those who are unwell at this time, Lord, that perhaps in their sickness and in their difficulties, they forget these things. We pray, Lord, that they would be encouraged. We ask, Lord, as the doors open, that we'd walk through them, that we'd use the opportunities and the breath of life that's in our nostrils, Lord, to make these truths more and more known. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.